And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-host, and with me today will be Steve Lydiard and Scott Tanfield from Friends of Fulham. In this episode, we are going to be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Reading. We have much to get through, but before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. First, Mr. Lydiard, how you doing?
I'm great, Russ. Not too bad. It's been a busy day at work for a Monday, but yeah, happy to get started.
Well, it's great to have you back, my friend. I look forward to doing this with you. And joining us once again is Mr. Tanfield. Scott, how are you doing, my friend?
Very good, Mr. Goldman. Good to be back. It's been a while. Maybe a little bit rusty, but we'll see how we go.
Okay, very good. Well, listen, we have some questions from the Cottage Talk Facebook page that I'm going to be sharing with you real quick. But before we do that, I just want to get your thoughts on where you feel Fulham are right now. Scott, I'm just going to start with you. Just feel free to share whatever you want about Fulham right now as we head into this match with Reading.
My thoughts of this season are, I mean, I never had expectations of going up this season. I thought maybe a bit more of a consolidation season for us. And, you know, I think we're showing signs of a good footballing side. I'm still convinced we're 3-4 decent players off the making. I still think the holy grail for us is next season. I really think that's a season that sort of Issa will push us on for an automatic promotion side. I don't know. I mean, expected to get a little bit more from the Queen's Park Rangers game. You know, I'm expecting nothing more but a win from Reading, but we could get another little bit of an upset there. I just feel that we're on par, but we're not quite there, if I'm honest, Russ.
Okay, very good. So you just think that we're just kind of treading water, would that be a good way to put it? We just haven't gotten over the top yet?
Yeah, just teetering on the brink. As I say, the telltale signs now, I don't think, any of us thought that we would get automatic promotion or anywhere near the playoffs. Season, if we finished maybe 8th or 9th, it was a mass improvement. You know, the quality of football's better. It's just that consistency. I mean, we need to go into Reading to win this game, but I just, something tells me that we may get another draw from this.
Okay, very good there, my friend. We're going to be talking about Reading in just a bit. Over to you, Mr. Lydiard. Just your thoughts about where we are right now.
I think it's all been said. I think if we'd have been offered this position at the start of the season, I think we'd have all bitten your hand off and taken it. I think the way the season's gone, I'm with a few of the other guys. I think we are underachieving. I think you said that yourself, Ross. I think we're underachieving.
I think we are. Yeah.
The problem being where we are now is I've always said, you know, January was key, and I mean, I know it's difficult getting players in January, but the problem is this is what's going to cost us. If we end up just short of the playoffs, but we do end up getting the players in by the end of January that can get us there, we've already missed those players for the games that we've had, for example QPR tomorrow at Reading. You know, these are games where we should be picking up the points. I say should be picking up the points, you know, if at the time we turn out to be really good with some additions, then we can look back at games and say we've lost points there. We could have had that. We could have been in the playoffs, could have been promoted. So for me, that's why January is so big this year, given where we are.
Listen, I totally agree with you. And just to add to that, Steve, I'm going to go right back to you because I want your thoughts on this. And I talked about this on the last show. January is very important. I think it's even more important because you have two players that are away right now. Specifically, more importantly, is Floyd Ayite is away. And not having him has been a loss. I think it's shown in the last match, and Niskan's Cambano is just another wide player that again, you're missing out on having that option. I think you could have used one or both of them in that last match. So I understand where you're going on January, Steve.
Yeah, we've definitely missed them both. I'm surprised Cambano hasn't been given more of a run out, whether it's a settling issue or he's just not quite up to the task just yet. But I definitely think he's one that could be a player for us definitely in the future, if not this season, next season. Can I just touch on what Scott said around sort of next season being the year? I don't necessarily disagree with that. However, my concern is, are we going to have the same side next year? Are we going to keep the likes of Kallas? Will we keep Kearney? So you can say next year's a year, but if we lose these players, next year might not be the year.
And that's something of a concern. That's why, you know, it's funny. I'm living for this year, but Scott has a good point. I mean, if it doesn't happen this year, you should be thinking that listen, we can get it together for next season. That next season should be the push. But on the flip side is who's going to be part of that team. So I kind of see where both of you are going on that. It's a very interesting situation. Next year could be the year, but I want to see them do everything that they can to make it this year. And we shall see, guys. All right. Now I have some questions for both of you from the Cottage Talk Facebook page. And Scott, I'm going to start with you because I put up a post to ask the co-host. And let's start with one from Gary Cooper. He actually has one for me, and I'll take that on afterwards. Here's a question. If McCormick was to come back, where would he fit in the team? We all know he scores, but would it be worth the hassle as regards to integrating him in the current setup? Or should we be looking for someone need less adjusting? Who would the striker be? But then again, who can take penalties properly?
I mean, this issue we've got. I mean, we've got Martin, who's now obviously committed by the looks of it. I mean, if you bring McCormack back, he's a very similar player. I mean, yes, he can score penalties, but I mean, do you really want to sort of justify a striker that's slightly on form with us now for someone that can just take penalties that's slightly overweight and probably carrying, you know, a bit of a bad attitude? I've sort of looked at it and thought maybe McCormack is the type of player that, you know, would be putting these chances to bed that we're missing at the moment. But at the same time, looking at it a bit more deeper, you have really got to train, or you've got to change the structure of how we're playing. And the reason why we've done so well this season is because Slavisa has changed that structure. Bringing him back, I like the idea of it. We all like the goals that McCormack scored. There's always that saying of never going back. I mean, would he be the same player? Possibly not. I'm not comfortable. I mean, if he did come back, he's got fitness options. I mean, he's always a guy that you can have, I think, from the bench. But that's the only place I would play him, to be honest, Russ.
See, I'm right there with you, Scott. I don't know where he fits because we have changed how we play, the formation. And I don't see the fit. And we were talking about on a prior show, you know, where he would fit would be in the Tom Kearney role. And we're not getting rid of Tom Kearney in that role. Sorry. Not even for Ross McCormack. I'm not doing that.
No, and I think
you would agree with that, right, Scott?
Yeah, and I don't think you can disrupt the way Kearney's playing. I mean, he's having
correct
season so far. You know, and I mean, he's controlling that midfield. He's becoming, you know, an individual within himself, and he will go on to be a bigger and better player. And I just don't think that the risk of putting McCormack back there or having that role is going to justify the rest of our season. I just can't see it, to be honest.
Okay, very good. Over to you, Steve. I want your thoughts on this because, you know, listen, we're seeing all the speculation with Ross McCormack, and we've talked about it, and Scott shared his thoughts, and I've shared mine. What do you think about bringing back Ross McCormack? Would you do it, and does he fit to what Fulham are doing right now?
I'm definitely in favour of bringing him back as the second option. The reason I say the second option is if it isn't working for Martin up front, you can put McCormack up there. I think it's obvious you can't change the three we've got at the moment, because although McCormack can play the Kearney role, the three in the middle are what's making us tick. You take one of those out and I think you lose it altogether. Especially with someone like Kenny. So I don't think you can do that. So it's just literally Mac would be a straight swap with Martin. But I wouldn't start McCormack over Martin at this stage, especially if he's unfit, as we're led to believe again.
Okay, so you would be fine if he came in more as a different option, as a substitute, maybe starting some matches, but you don't want to see him as your starting each and every match as a striker out there. You don't want to see him playing regularly.
It might depend on the game you play. So Martin would be a good fit for some games, whereas McCormack would be a good fit for others. So it might be a case of Jokanović just deciding which is better for each game.
Right. Different situations.
Yeah.
I understand that, my friend. All right. Here's a question that Gary has for me. With the unconvincing performance against QPR, do you think we can still go on that run of winning matches, Russ? And my answer is yes. I do think that we can. I totally believe that we can. It's there for them. Things have changed a little bit with the fixtures. So my thoughts of when it can happen changed slightly because they had to change when the Blackburn match was happening. But if you look at the month of February, there is the time that you could really get on that winning streak. It starts away at Burton, Albion, away at Birmingham City. Then you're home against Wigan Athletic and Nottingham Forest. Then you're away to Bristol City and Cardiff City. I know these are a good amount of away matches, but these are all opponents that Fulham can beat. So I see the month of February and even going into March as an opportunity to get on a winning streak. So that's where I'm going on that. Scott, you've talked a great deal about at the beginning of the second half season, you said the next 10 matches would really decide our fate. Can you see a potential winning streak in there?
mean, if I'm honest, my head says yes, but my heart says no. When you look at the likes of Brighton, and they, you know, and they really sort of push dogged results, and you know they're picking 3 points out of the basket when realistically they shouldn't be. I just feel that within that run of games, we've always got a potential maybe to slip up away at Cardiff, or you know, we have a bad performance like we do against Queen's Park Rangers, and we just can't keep that running of games going that we need. I mean, for us, I mean, we had a slow start to the season. For us, really sort of penetrate that top six and to get our noses in there, we really, really do need to go on a winning streak of games. We haven't done it yet. I just don't think we've got the togetherness yet. I think we're still, what's the word for it? I think we're still like a team in progress at the moment. I again, coming back to that initial question, are we good enough to get in the playoffs? I just don't think we're good enough to put that run together that we need. I hope I'm back here and I eat my words, I really do, but I just I just feel that we're just not good enough to put that decent run together.
Okay, so for you, we're just not quite there to have the run. Okay, Steve, your thoughts on that?
Pretty much said spot on. Have we got the ability as a team? Well, we've seen that, you know, we played third place Huddersfield at the time, 5-0, we smashed them. Reading at the time, third place again, 5-0, we smashed them. It reminds me, I'm not putting this in the same category, it reminds me a bit like Liverpool were doing when they were trying to go for the Premier League. They were beating all the big teams, but they couldn't beat the little teams around them. Similar to us, we're getting big results, but when it comes to, with no disrespect to QPR and that, you know, they've seen how we've been playing lately. You know, we should really be going there and picking up 3 points. Like Scott was saying, Brighton are dogged and picking up these results, whereas we're not quite there. We're not picking them up. So that's where I can't see us putting that run together because we're already playing catch up.
Okay, very good. Okay, so you guys are kind of on the same page on that. Okay, very good. All right, over to you, Steve, right back to you. Joe Smythe has a question. Here it is. Without Ayite, we've lacked the pace up front to support Martin and have looked much more predictable. I agree with that. Is it time to switch to a 3-5-2?
I think possibly was it Mike that's been mentioning this the last few weeks? And I was actually thinking about it the last few days and before the show today. I definitely think it's time to switch to 3-5-2. Three at the back would give us that more solidity. You could maybe have two centre-backs picking up the strikers if they're playing two up top, and then sort of the third one being almost like a little sweeper. And then you can allow the full-backs to push on as they already do, but with a little less responsibility. So then almost, yeah, like you're saying, you are playing the five in the middle. We can attack while having that. So I'm rambling a little bit, but having that solidity at the back with the three and having obviously the extra striker up front would be decent. The problem is, who are you going to play? You can't play Martin. You can't play Martin and Smith. They're two similar-ish sort of players.
Oluko, possibly.
Again, he can't finish. Bless his heart. I know. You know, fantastic player, but his goal scoring, you know, it isn't of the greatest standard.
Yeah, and that's the rub there, because if you go there, you don't have someone that can finish on a regular basis. But he would be the natural person to go along with Martin. Over to you, Scott. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm all for it. I mean, it showed that we had problems against QPR with that. I mean, I know that the conditions weren't great and people were saying that the pitch was this and the pitch was that. But, I mean, I don't use that as an excuse. I mean, your team and your players should always be able to adapt to whatever situation is. I mean, if you look at the Championship on a whole, you know, 50% of the playing surfaces are probably just as bad as Queen's Park Rangers. And you have to live with that. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we tried it against Ipswich, didn't we? We went to the 3-5-2, and it worked.
It worked.
It was a good tactical switch because he noticed how deep Ipswich were, but they just weren't giving it up. And we went for that 3-5-2, and we sort of pushed them higher or that actual width, and then played the two up front. I think we played Martin, and then did we not play Aluko behind him?
I believe we did.
And it just gave us that ability a bit more just to stretch them and to obviously put more pressure on up front. And it did work. But I think in this division, we need to be trying that because our formation every single time that we're playing is not going to work. We're going to get found out like we did with Queen's Park Rangers. Maybe if we tried sort of switching tactics in, we could have sort of like maybe fooled them or forced them into, you know, sort of making more mistakes. But we certainly need to be more adaptable. So I'm with playing that.
Yeah, listen, I'm right there with him. I wouldn't mind seeing him at certain times play the 3-5-2, especially if you're in a situation where things aren't working, Scott. And you brought up the QPR match, and you also brought up the Ipswich match where he felt he needed to switch it, and it worked. Especially when you're dealing with an opponent that is really making it difficult on you. Maybe a change of formation can open them up. And it's a very good point. Without Ayite, we are lacking that that pace from that side. We really are. That's why it's a difficult situation. You kind of have to manufacture it. That's why I can see why Joe Smyth is going with this, because that way you're actually getting some width from your wingbacks, and their responsibility more is to go forward. So I don't think it's a bad idea at all. Okay, very interesting questions, guys. Very interesting questions. Okay, and thank you very much for sharing that on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. All right, guys, let's get into our preview of Reading, and I'm going to share some information with you from WhoScored.com just to help with our preview. And just to help you learn a little bit more about Reading, you're probably familiar with Reading a decent amount, but this might help a little bit. Talk about tendencies, the way they play, and hopefully that will give you an idea of what to expect on Tuesday night. So here we go. Let's start where both teams are on the table. Reading are currently fifth. They have 14 victories, 4 draws, 8 losses. They've scored 38. They've given up 36. They're in a +2 goal differential and are on 46 points. Fulham are ninth, 10 victories, 10 draws, 6 losses, 44 goals scored, 31 given up, +13 goal differential, and are on 40 points. And something else to mention, Reading are 3-3 in their last 6, and that's something to consider. I believe they've lost their last 2 league matches as well. This information from WhoScored.com, basically characteristics of Reading: strengths, finishing scoring chances, attacking down the wings, creating long shot opportunities, coming back from losing positions. Their weaknesses: avoiding offside, defending against skillful players, defending set pieces, and aerial duels. They're very weak at stopping opponents from creating chances. And they're also very weak at defending against through ball attacks, which Fulham are pretty good at. Style of play: possession football, attacking down the left, short passes, playing in their own half, consistent first 11. They are aggressive, and opponents play aggressively against them. Their leading goal scorer is Gareth McCleary, who has 8 goals, and Jan Kermagant has 7. So, and those are the two guys up front to worry about in this match. All right, Steve, I'm going to start with you. What are your thoughts about what I shared in regards to Reading heading into this match?
Bit of a mixed bag for them at the moment. I haven't looked at the table. I think they're sort of, are they fourth at the moment, fourth or fifth?
They're fifth.
They're fifth. So yeah, again, they have slipped a couple since we played them and beat them last time round. They're definitely sort of hit and miss. That they concede sort of, they obviously conceded a few more than us, but they've conceded a few more and scored a little less. But I still kind of would say it's around about, well, I guess it's not really, because there's 11 plus 11 difference in goal. But I would have said it's sort of similar to us, although we're not conceding as many as them. I'm rambling again. I'm not picking too much out of it. I still think we're sort of really on an even keel. I know we did beat them 5-0, but again, we were sort of seeing it in that misery that was the fog last time out, that they're more than a match on their day. But again, we're going to find out tomorrow, because I don't think there will be any fog, but I could be wrong looking outside.
Okay, very good. All right, Scott, before I go to you, I'm actually going to share with you a stats comparison that I did from WhoScored.com comparing the two teams, where they both are in the league in certain categories. Let's start with possession. Again, this is all from WhoScored.com. Reading are first in the league at 58.7, but Fulham are right behind at second at 58.4. Shots per game: Reading are 14th at 12.5. Fulham are first at 16.3. Aerials won: Reading are 23rd at 18th, and Fulham are last at 16.8. Passing success: Reading are second at 82.2. Fulham are first at 83.3. Player ratings: This is WhoScored.com rating all the players. And currently, Reading are 8th at 6.8. Fulham are 4th at 6.86. Crosses per game, getting back to some passing stats. Reading are currently 2nd at 20 per game. Fulham are 1st at 24. Through balls, Fulham are tied for first with 2, and Reading are tied for third with 1. Long balls, Reading are first with 92, and Fulham are dead last at 67. Short passes, Fulham are first in the league at 508, and Reading are second at 432. Okay, what stands out to you from this stats comparison, Scott? I'm curious your thoughts on this.
It looks a very even match to me. I mean, give or take a few percentages there. I mean, we seem to be sort of quite even as two sides. I mean, take away, you know, the sort of battering that we gave them at home. I mean, if we're on a sort of even playing field, then, you know, this sort of squares up to be quite an even match. I mean, one of the outstanding stats seems to be that long ball. We don't play any, but they tend to go long, I suppose, if things are not working for them. So, I mean, a potential sort of banana skin for us could be the fact that if we're not getting any sort of any luck out of any type of short passing or any kind of like width, they have a potential to start hitting them balls long, and that's where we could suffer. Again, it's going to be one of them games, I think, where we're going to need to be. We're going to be on our game to start with, but we're going to need to finish chances. You know, if we're going to miss chances, we've got potential to be sort of hit by Reading. And that's going to be our only downfall, I think. We just need to put away chances tomorrow night.
Okay, very good. And I just want to say a player that really concerns me is Jan Kermergan, because he has the ability to really give our center backs a really difficult time. So that's a player to watch for them. Of course, and also Gareth McCleary. The guys up front are could be difficult. All right, I'm just going to share this with you real quick. Here's the prediction from WhoScored.com on this match. I'll just read it to you. This game was originally scheduled for December 30th, but was abandoned at halftime due to fog, which enveloped the Medeski Stadium. Reading's 3-2 defeat at Derby was their third in a row in all competitions, while Fulham have now only lost twice in 12 league games, both to front runners Brighton. Very interesting. Only Albion and Newcastle have better away records than Fulham, and the Whites are capable of taking 3 points in this. Guys, they're predicting a 2-1 Fulham victory, which I find interesting. So that's encouraging. All right, let's get into this. Steve, I'm going to start with you. Who are your key players for Fulham tomorrow against Reading?
Key for me is the spine of the team, but more so the back two. I mean, I think we all know Kallas didn't have his greatest game for us at the weekend, but I think his poor games are few and far between. And I think Paul's probably being a little harsh, but again, you know, his bad games are few and far between. I do think Ream's done enough to earn himself another crack. And I think Jukanovic just got to turn around to these two and say, right, you didn't cover yourselves in too much glory as a pairing at the weekend. Go out there and do it again and show me what you're made of. But again, I think as we saw before, I think the wide players are definitely going to, the fullbacks are definitely going to have a massive input into this game. Interestingly enough, do you bring in Sessegnon for Malone, or do you bring in Sessegnon for Piazon? That's sort of what I've been juggling up. But I guess we'll find out when we go to pick your team. But that's something food for thought while you guys think about it.
Okay, very good. How about you, Scott? Who are your key players tomorrow? Obviously, Steve is looking right at the center backs. I understand that. Could it be maybe the guys in the central midfield, wide players?
Yeah,
who are your key players tomorrow?
I think he was quite quiet against Queen's Park Rangers. If Johansson tends to have a quiet game midfield, we tend to have a quiet game. He is a bit of an engine for us. He sort of right. He's up and down. I think it's key for him to have a strong game Tuesday night and dominate that kind of midfield, why it kind of leaves Kearney for a free reign in there. Also, I think Frederick owes us for Saturday. He just didn't seem, I don't know whether he'd had a late weekend or a few late nights or whatever, but he just didn't, or whether the ground didn't suit him, but he was just not effective. And again, when it's key when he's been playing that he's stretched and he's left a lot of players sort of sitting on their arses, you know? And I think it's key that he gets involved in this game Tuesday night.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, right back to you. What if Fulham need to do to win this match? How do they beat Reading? What do you think will be Savic's strategy in this match?
I think we need to do exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong. Reading are going to kind of expect what we give them at home. But I think we need to do exactly the same as what we did at home. We need to get in their faces early with the early chances, and we need to batter them because they can't cope with it. Now, I think Reading are on the back of, is it three straight losses at the moment?
Correct.
They're a little bit frail at the moment, and I think the worst we can do is sit back and let or give them confidence in this game. We need to pick up. We need to pick ourselves up from Saturday. We need to stretch these guys, and we need to batter them from the off. And I think if we do that, we've got a chance, you know, to win this game.
I totally agree with you. Over to you, Steve. Do you agree with Scott and myself? I think Scott's on to what Fulham need to do in this match.
Yeah, he's spot on. I think. I might have missed it if Scott had said this, but I definitely think we need to press more. I could be wrong, but it didn't look like we were doing our usual high pressing game as much as we usually do at the weekend. I mean, someone like Mike might tell me he was there that I'm wrong, but that's just what I noticed from the TV. We've pressed a lot higher and more efficiently in the past. So I think that's what we need to do from the off, really, and just keep it going. And more importantly, get that early goal when we're on top. So if we do get a penalty or anything like that, take the chance, take the opportunity. I'll take an own goal. I really would, just to get us up and running.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, Steve, I'm going to go right back to you. You've already been kind of previewing it. Give me your starting 11, what you would do.
I could run through the whole 11 for you, or I could just openly say I wouldn't change it, but okay. I would be open to, if you wanted to play Sessegnon, you've got two options. You can do a straight swap for Malone, or you could potentially pop him in for Piazon down the left side and see how he gets on, you know, with a sort of maybe a 60-minute burst. And then you can bring Piazon later on to solidify the game if you're in that position, or even if you're not, but you might have to bring him on. I'm not saying Piazon's a bad player whatsoever. I'm just thinking maybe a bit of pace is a way to get a Reading from the off. So Malone and Sessegnon both bombing down that left side could cause him a hell of a lot of problems.
Okay, very interesting. And... again, this to me is talking about, Steve, the loss of Ayite, because you're talking about getting pace down there. And I think this is where it's showing. He's trying to find a way to get some pace on there. And I think that's why you're seeing Ryan Sessegnon play in that position. Right back to you, before I go to Scott, because Scott brought up something interesting. The situation with Ryan Fredericks in the last match goes off at halftime. Something wasn't right, wasn't playing to his capability. Do you think it's important that he plays in this next match?
It's definitely important he plays, and I think he'll probably be the first one to say he probably let himself down. I think he let the occasion get the better of him. He did get a needless yellow card. I mean, everyone's done it, I think Slavisa was probably more worried that he was going to get himself sent off, and then it's a whole different ball game because then obviously without stating the obvious, you're down to 10 men. QPR weren't exactly playing that bad that day. So again, you're in problems if you're down to 10 men. So I think it was more sort of half and half. He wasn't playing too great, but he's preserving what we had at the time, which is 11 men.
Okay, very good. Scott, over to you. Starting 11, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I would keep the same starting 11. I mean, I'd even keep Taz on in there to start. I know that he had a bit of a disappointing game against Queen's Park Rangers. I think.
What are your thoughts on Piazon, Scott?
I think he's a decent addition, but he's not somebody that you can rely on game in, game out to sort of win your results and get your goals. He's an individual that will have a decent game, 1 in 4, 1 in 5.
He's just not consistent.
Yeah, he's someone that you can bring into a side. He brings a bit of flair, but then once in a while, like a game against Reading, he might come alive and create you a bit of brilliance and score you a goal. But as I say, we haven't got Yeti at the moment. He is the only option. Yes, we've got the option of obviously bringing Sessegnon in there, but I just think Reading, he had a poor game last time. He's probably got a little bit to prove. I think there was someone on Twitter, wasn't there, that met him in Westfield after the game, had a photograph taken with him, and he said that he sounded pretty gutted about his performance and the result. So I would just leave him in there personally, just to see, you know, sort of team that he played for, bit of a sort of bad game last time. He could produce something for him. So I would personally, I would have the same starting 11 for this game.
Okay, very good. All right, guys, it's time to make predictions. Let's start with the Cottage Talk Twitter poll that I put up there, and then I'll go to you guys. Twitter poll, again, I had a good amount of votes here, 207 votes. Win, 60%. Draw, 31%. Loss, 9%. All right, Steve, I'm going to go to you first. What's your prediction for this match?
I'm caught in the middle here because they say you're only as good as your last game. And if that's the basis, then I would predict a 2-1 Reading win with another missed penalty. But again, we're so hit and miss. It could be a draw. You know, you could say a disappointing draw or a good draw. But again, you could see us going there, opening them up time and time again and coming away with a 2-3-1, 4-0, anything like that. It's just really, I think Reading will turn up as they always do. I think it matters which Fulham turns up. And if we turn up, especially like we did at home to them, it can be the same scoreline again. If I'm going to get off the fence, I'm gonna say we're
gonna
get
off the David Holly fence. Get off the David Holly fence.
I'm gonna say, unfortunately, I want to be positive, but again, I'm gonna go with the last game, and I'm gonna say we're gonna lose 2-1, and we're gonna miss another penalty.
Okay, very good. All right, not very good, I should say. I don't want to see that. All right,
neither do
all
I.
Right. All right, Scott. Before I go to you with your prediction, I actually have some predictions on the College Talk Facebook page, so I'm going to share them. Let's start with Andy Newland, 1-1 draw. Roger Lewis, 2-2 draw. Let's see what else we got. Elaine Boyskar, hopefully we'll win. We certainly have the ability. I'll go 2-0. Brendan Morris, 2-1 to Fulham. Gary Cooper, hoping for a 2-1 victory play like we did on Saturday. At best, a draw. Simon Potter, fogged off again, do we think? Chris Davidson, abandoned after 54 minutes with Fulham winning 1-0 with a Martin penalty. That's pretty funny. Brendan Cronin, 1-0 to Fulham. Arlene Bone, 1-0 to Fulham. Steve Webb, fog. Very funny. People are being funny on this. Kim Serpanchi, well, first of all, I hope they play better than they did on Saturday. Colm Bugler, 1-0 to Fulham with a Ryan Fredericks 30-yard screamer. Chris Cox, postponed fog again. And Jeanette Philpott, so far, my predictions have been spot on. Here goes 2-1 to Fulham. Jeanette, I hope you're right. All right, Scott, over to you. Your prediction for this match.
I'm going to come straight off the David Holly fence and say I've got a feeling we're going to come a little bit unstuck in this game. I've got a feeling we're going to lose. I'm with Steve here. We're going to lose 1-0 or something like 2-1. Okay. I just feel we're not quite at that stage where we were under to go. I mean, we'll never be the same as we were under to go on, where we just turned up and it wasn't the case of losing, but how many we'd win by. I just don't have that confidence at the moment that we can just go on that run. There's something about the game creeping in from Queen's Park Rangers that we've got the potential of a couple of days later turning up with the same type of attitude. Again, I hope I come back here to eat my words and we've got a result, because if we're going to penetrate that top six, nothing more than a result tomorrow or 3 points is good enough. Draw or lose, and I feel we just take ourselves, you know, further away from that playoff chance. So, yeah, I've got a feeling we're going to come unstuck. I reckon we're going to lose 1-0.
Okay. And listen, I understand why both of you are picking Reading here. It makes sense. It's also a Tuesday night match. There's a lot going against Fulham going into this match. They're coming off of a few losses here, so they're going to definitely be up for it. So everything points in that way. It's funny, even though WhoScored.com picked 2-1, after hearing what you guys had to share, I'm thinking maybe I should go with you guys, but I also hear Mike Gregg in my ear saying, you know what, they really need this victory. Really, they, and Scott, you said that as well. They really need this victory, so I am going to predict a victory. I don't feel overly confident about it, but I am going to predict a victory. I'm going to say they win 2-1, but it could go all three ways here. You know, it could be easily a loss, a draw, but I'm hoping for a 2-1 victory. So that's going to be my prediction. All right, guys, great show. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining me. Before we go, final thoughts. Steve, to you first.
Yeah, hopefully the listeners will forgive me for a sort of mid-stint ramble where I'm not really sure I went on the stats. But apart from that, I've enjoyed the show. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, well, listen, it's been great having you join me, my friend. I always love when you can come and come on the show. So please come back soon.
It's been a pleasure.
All right, great. Mr. Tanfield, final thoughts before we go, my friend.
Yeah, it's great to be back. I'd love to be on here more often, Russ, but as you know, sort of life, work, everything else kind of gets in the way. It's just, I say it's one of those things, unfortunately, but it's been good to get on with yourself and obviously Steve for a catch-up. Even though I predicted, you know, a very negative sort of 1-0 loss tomorrow, I just really hope we can turn up tomorrow and just this run that we're hoping that we can go on, like you say, from February onwards, that we really do pull all the stops out to do this. I want to be back here eating my words. I never want, you know, the worst for them. I just hope we really do grind it. I mean, even if it's a dogged result tomorrow night and we fight for the 3 points and it's not pretty, but we come away victorious, I just really hope we do it.
Well, Scott, you bring up a good point, and this is something that Mike has talked to me about. Do Fulham have another way of winning? You know, they want to play football right now, right? Do they have a way to grind out a victory? They might have to do that tomorrow night, you know? And I think they need to find other ways to win. It might be a difficult match, and they just need to gut it out and grind it out. So tomorrow might actually be a very good test for them. And this is also a team that wants to play as well, wants to play football, wants to pass the ball around. So it's going to be interesting. I also saw the interview with Savisa on the Fulham website. He's talking about the pitch and the fact that there was a rugby match just there. So be prepared for that as well, that the pitch might not be at 100%. So all kinds of factors here. So they might have to grind this one out. And maybe that's a good thing because they need to learn how to win matches in different ways. I know we all want to see them play attractive football, but sometimes you just got to find a way to win. And maybe tomorrow night's the night. All right. Scott, before we go, everyone knows your website, friendsoffulham.com, but just talk a little bit about it. What are some of the topics recently on Friends of Fulham?
I mean, it's been a bit of a mixed bag, really. I mean, obviously leading up to this season and last season when things were pretty sort of bad, I mean, there was a lot of negativity on the forum. I mean, it's improved quite a lot recently. I mean, if you hop over there and have a look at the forum, I mean, there are quite some decent conversations going on. I mean, the height of the topic at the moment, as we know, is the January transfer window. Sure. We've got the official silly season transfer thread, which is, how many pages is it up to now? These go on, they get quite comical. You hear everything from obviously players. I mean, we're up to sort of 70 pages now. Some of it's complete and utter rubbish, some of it's quite good. But, you know, we've got to talk about Ross McCormack going on. Obviously that's looking as if it's dying out now. But we're getting some good conversations at the moment. I mean, the best part of it at the moment is are we good enough for that top six?
Right.
Where it's circled around at the moment. So,
very good there, my friend. And I would recommend everyone going to friendsoffulham.com. I go there every single day. I check out your website, Scott. Love the website. Love the forum. So please do check it out. If you don't, I recommend going there. Most Fulham supporters do go there. So I would recommend you going to friendsoffulham.com. It's a great place to see what people are saying about Fulham Football Club. All right, guys. Great show. Again, thank you for joining me on such short notice tonight. But it is time to go. For Scott Tanfield and Steve Lydiard, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.